from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. Welcome to the show. A state of emergency in Jamestown over a homeless encampment with some 300 people in it, many of whom are mentally ill and or addicted to drugs. Joining us right now, State Senator George Borrello. Senator, thanks very much for joining us. 300 people just don't come together overnight and form a tent city. When did this problem begin in Jamestown?
Well, I would say that there was certainly evidence of it more than a year ago, and I would say the previous administration didn't take it seriously. So I think now we have a real issue, and these things multiply over time. Jamestown is a city of about 20,000 people, and 300 people, encamping in the middle of the city is a problem. It'd be the equivalent of tens of thousands in other cities. So this is a major issue, and I think it's now gotten to a boiling point, for lack of a better term, because there are complaints from citizens and businesses. There have been fires set. There have been other issues, thefts occurring, drug deals. So this has got to be addressed.
How do you address it?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to recognize the fact that New York State government likes to talk about things like mental illness and substance abuse, but does actually little about it. We have closed thousands of beds across New York State for emergency mental health evaluation, particularly here in Chautauqua County with the closure of Lakeshore Hospital. We have not enough beds for substance abuse, and a governor that's quite frankly unwilling to take the difficult steps to ensure people like this, that are not going along willingly, are taken to get treatment. These folks all have been approached, and virtually all of them have said, no, we don't want any help. We want to live here and do this. They want to do drugs, commit crimes, and be a burden on the city of Jamestown. So that means we need a true law enforcement presence from the state that's coupled with the tough decisions to ensure that these people get treatment, even if they're initially unwilling.
Way back when in American history, an American president sent in the military to bust up a camp of veterans who wanted their World War I bonus pay. Do you see a situation where the National Guard might be called out to disrupt and evacuate these tent cities?
Well, this is not a problem that's unique to Jamestown. It's happening in cities across the state and really across the nation. The uniqueness of this is that it appears that these folks have heard that New York is a great place to come and do this. That there's lots of organizations that'll feed you. There are people that are particularly in Western New York that trying to be kind will donate food and blankets and money. But the reality is that the National Guard, I think that is probably at this point a little too far. However, I think that we need engagement from our governor and from the state, and once again a recognition that these people, almost virtually all of them, have mental health and substance use disorders that need to be addressed, and we do not have the facilities. The city of Jamestown has no facilities, in fact, to address those, so this really does fall on the state.
So I don't know if you want to walk us through the history of mental health in New York State, but as a kid, I remember the whole movement to deinstitutionalize the mentally ill and mainstream them, even if they were not ready to be mainstreamed. Is it time to rethink the idea that, hey, maybe the old way of doing this was a lot better.
Well, absolutely. And I've been calling on this in the New York State Senate since day one. We have, first of all, you have a very small percentage of people in our total population, but they are obviously a big focus when you see them doing things like this. So it is manageable. But yes, we have turned the streets of our communities into mental institutions and letting people suffer essentially without treatment in order to make it look like we were being compassionate. Whenever I've talked about this and debated these things in the Senate, the answer always is, well, we can't stigmatize mental illness. We can't violate their civil rights. Well, again, these people end up dying prematurely. They have more encounters with law enforcement. They have horrible lives. So this whole idea that we can't stigmatize mental illness as an excuse as to why we aren't going to get these people help is really just a bad excuse. And it's kind of identity politics, if you will, over public health and public safety.
Why couldn't a city code be passed, barring anybody from offering assistance to the homeless in the form of money, food, shelter, blankets, and all such things as may be required for the sustaining of life? Why not make that a city ordinance and enforce it?
Well, first of all, I think there'd be a number of challenges with that. First of all, you'd have some of these activist groups that would challenge that illegally. But and the mayor has called on that. The mayor and actually all of us as elected officials are stressing the fact that please don't do this. This is not compassionate. This is essentially emboldening these folks to continue to do this and encouraging it. If you want to make donations of those things, make it to the local food pantries and shelters that have a more comprehensive way of handling these situations. And that's what we are calling on the folks in the area to do, not to enable more of this. So no doubt about it, that is an issue. The city, like I said, passing an ordinance, that's up to the city. But once again, you have lots of groups. We've seen this in other cities, these so-called advocates that would challenge that legally.
Can you name some of these advocates and the groups? Because maybe they've got room in their buildings to accommodate these people.
Trust me, I feel the same way. Look, the bottom line is we have Jamestown is a small, poor, rural community, but it's having a bit of a renaissance. You had a commercial on right before I came on for the National Comedy Center based in Jamestown. We have a lot of good things going on in the city of Jamestown, and this is hampering those economic development efforts. Jamestown won the Downtown Revitalization Initiative Award a couple years ago. So these are the kind of things that are going to be severely hamstrung by something like this, because the perception of these people being there, the quality of life issues it creates, the public safety and public health issues it creates are going to make it more difficult for Jamestown to prosper.
So what, if you had Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, if you had her ear, what exactly would you tell her to do? And look, I mean, buildings are not built overnight. New mental institutions could not be built overnight. And I doubt the older standing ones that have been vacant for many years would be of much use at this point. What is she supposed to do?
Well, I think first and foremost, there are facilities that the state could, if the state wanted to come in and take these folks and spread them out into facilities across the state in order to defuse the situation. It's my understanding that many of these people came here from other states. Maybe it's time for the governor to look at sending them back to the states that sent them here. Whatever the case may be, this is, and I'm not an expert at this, but New York State spends over $250 billion a year on a budget. We have hundreds of thousands of employees, many of which deal with this issue. I am sure that we put enough heads together, they can come up with a solution.
State Senator George Borrello is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is 2:44. Senator, again, I want to get back to the beginnings of this. You say that the beginnings go back a year. I guess what I'm trying to wrap my arms around here is, how can something go from one or two tents two or four people to 300 people, and only now are people paying attention?
Well, I just think at some point, you achieved some kind of a critical mass where these people were in hiding, if you will, and now that they've become bolder, like any other situation. They now feel it's okay to start fires. They now feel it's okay to be loud and obnoxious. You can see all kinds of bikes that are under the bridge that obviously have been stolen. So they become bolder, which has made them more high profile and more of a nuisance.
Are these, you'll have to excuse my ignorance here, but are any of these people illegal invaders into the United States, or are these homegrown people?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would say that certainly there's a possibility of that. However, it appears that these I cannot tell you where they come from in the United States, but they appear to be mostly American citizens.
Why Jamestown? Is it New York State's generous social services, Medicaid, et cetera?
Well, yeah. First and foremost, let's remember that Jamestown is literally on the border of Pennsylvania. You are steps away from another state, which there is not a state in the nation other than possibly California that isn't more tolerant and generous than New York State when it comes to someone who wishes to live their life camping and abusing drugs and panhandling. And unfortunately, that is something that New York State, I would say, encourages because it does not have the same level of restrictions and certainly take the actions that other states like Pennsylvania do take I think that's the natural progression of things. So Jamestown's right there, right across that border.
Here's what I'm having a hard time also wrapping my arms around with this story is if somebody catches a trout without the appropriate license, the state DEC will be all over them. Why can't the state DEC and its law enforcement officers move into these camps to protect the integrity of the Chattahoochee River? After all, if somebody hooks a brown trout in the Chattahoochee River, it might not be a trout.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's a question for the governor. Absolutely. We have DEC police that could come in. These folks are, as you know, they're defecating into the Chattahoochee River, amongst other things. So there's needles everywhere, which are going to end up into the water and certainly impacting the wildlife that surrounds it. So there's no doubt in my mind that's just one tool in the governor's toolbox. Like I said, hundreds of thousands of New York State employees the governor has control over. I'm sure there are tools in her toolbox to address this. It just has not happened yet.
We are in almost in August now. It's late July as we speak, State Senator George Borrello. And is there any idea, any hope that come November, December, January, February, that the climate factors in Western New York, like lake effect snow bands, cause these people to move of their own volition?
Well, and that actually speaks to another challenge that's going to come up, New York State's Code Blue. Which mandates that the local municipalities, local governments, county governments will have to find shelter for these folks once the temperature drops below, I believe, 30 degrees. So there's no doubt this is going to create a further burden, financial burden, and certainly a burden on manpower to be able to handle those situations. This is a New York State unfunded mandate that the governor needs to address before this gets out of control even further than it already is when winter does come around.
As far as the governor of New York is concerned, Realistically, what else could she do? I mean, she could call in the state DEC to clean up the area. I don't know if they've got a hazmat team with DEC, but you know, hazmat teams are certainly out there. How, if you were running things, what would you do?
Well, you know, again, I don't have the luxury of having all of the information on what the governor has at her fingertips. But I can tell you that there are a litany of people and services that certainly, should the governor choose, be, you know, I guess, activated to come down to Jamestown. It may be, you know, more social workers coming along with law enforcement. It may be saying we're going to activate you know, some of the rules that allow someone to be held for up to 72 hours for mental health evaluation in local hospitals. There could be a plan put in place. You know, sitting here on the phone with you, you know, off the top of my head, even I can put that together to say we could put a plan in place, a strategy to address this. But you need the political will, because there will be the social media trolls saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're doing it to these poor people. Leave them alone." All those other things that are already happening now, by the way, the criticisms that are already occurring. You have to have the political stomach to stand up to that. And that's the part I think that's holding things back at the moment, and certainly did, I think, during the previous administration.
Well, I mean, let's face it, the social media trolls should all be asked how much space they have in their place and how many will they be willing to accommodate.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. And you have great organizations, you know, church groups and others that are providing food. One small church in Jamestown, I believe it was last Sunday, served 400 meals, you know, in one day.
And how does that how does that help the situation, however well intended it might be? How does that help? Because I'm not going to equate human beings with rats, but we are mammals. And in where I live, we had to start putting our garbage in totes because we had a problem with rats. Because the idea was, if you're not feeding the rats, they're going to not multiply as much and they're not going to be in your neighborhood. So if you're not feeding other mammals of a different species, Homo sapiens, you're kind of dissuading them from being there. How are these churches helping? Sounds to me like the churches are destroying the community.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, because keep in mind, they're ensuring these people are actually getting a meal versus being given cash by somebody on the street that would probably use to buy drugs and not food. So I would say they're at least performing that service. Secondly, you know, I'm sure there are, because there are, if you will, touch points with these folks, you know, that there are opportunities for churches and so forth to hopefully get at least some of these people in that are willing into some kind of help and treatment. But, you know, the reality is this is something that's too great for any small organizations in a city the size of Jamestown.
Of course, if you feed people, eventually what goes in one end goes out the other. So we're talking about the pollution in the area of the environment and the Chattahoochee River. If people aren't eating, they're not excreting, and maybe they'll go elsewhere.
Well, and look, that's already happening. We know that. But, you know, this goes back to, like I said, an unwillingness on the part of the Democrats that run the state, quite frankly, to make tough decisions. You know, you're maybe familiar with Kendra's Law, which is something that was named after Kendra Webdale. One of my schoolmates from Fredonia, I knew Kendra Webdale. She was pushed in front of a subway train and killed by a man who had severe mental health issues, should have never been on the street. Back to your point about we need to have institutions again to deal with that small percentage of people with mental health issues that are violent. But the bottom line is we've tried to expand that further. 72 hours is not enough time to get someone into a proper treatment program. We tried to expand that further, and we were denied. We were denied because we were told, again, we cannot violate the civil rights. We cannot stigmatize mental health and substance abuse disorders. So it's the politics that are holding back being able to provide real treatment and making sure that these people do get the help that they need.
Since when is it a civil right to illegally camp on somebody's private land or public property? When is that a civil right? I mean, I've got a park about a half mile from my home, and you are not to be in that park after a certain hour of day.
You'll have to ask the Democrats to run the state, because that's their answer whenever I ask the question.
That's quite disturbing, indeed. Getting back to the issue of winter, you talked about cold blues. I mean, this is such a multifaceted issue. I guess another thing I don't understand is New York State law does allow for people to be at least evaluated and possibly confined if they represent a danger to themselves or others. Clearly, these people are both. So why aren't they being held behind bars?
Well, I can tell you that I know that part of this emergency order will allow them to make arrests. However, when you start talking about being held, it's not so much in jail. This is it requires mental health evaluation beds at hospitals. That's what that 72-hour hold actually relates to. And you need to have, I believe they're called 929 beds, places where people who are potentially suicidal and are dangerously mentally ill can be properly held, which we have a severe lack of, particularly here in Chautauqua County, but throughout New York State. So it's not as simple as arresting them and putting them behind bars. You have to have all the proper facilities to ensure these people don't harm themselves or others. And like I said, even though the governor talks a good game, has done nothing to reverse the trend of all these lost mental health evaluation beds and the services that could actually help those folks.
Well, the private sector also talks a good game about mental wellness and mental health, but try calling in and saying that you need a mental health day. State Senator George Borrello, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your time and insight.
Thank you.
State Senator George Borrello on News Radio 930 WBEN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.